You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey guys, it's me, P.
And me, S.
And you're listening to the Girl on Girl podcast. But it's not what you think.
But also, it's kind of what you think.
Okay, here's the deal. My name is Persis. I'm queer, Indian, femme, and a little over 5 feet tall.
And my name is Sarah. I'm straight, white, cis, and a proud ginger.
Every episode, we're going to talk about sexuality from a queer perspective, from a straight perspective, and what it means to find the fluidity between the two.
We're going to talk about taboos, labels, dating, awkward moments, pop culture icons.
We're also going to talk safe sex, self-discovery, discrimination, and what it means to be a queer minority.
Persis, hello.
Hello, Sarah.
You are wearing the Girl on Girl beanie today, and it looks so cute on you.
I love this beanie. I actually really love it.
Me too. Me too. I like my gray one. I got the gray one with the white writing on it.
Oh, yeah. The gray one's really cute.
Yeah, but the yellow just, it works with your skin tone and your hair. I think gray is not really your vibe. You're a colorful gal. You're like color and black.
Yeah. Oh, you know I love black. I wear a lot of black.
Yeah, so do I. But like your vibe is black, but then like a pop of color every now and then.
Yeah, like exactly. Like my black July talk sweater and my bright yellow girl on girl beanie.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you have a black cold heart, but then on the outside you pretend to be like colorful and cute.
Exactly. Whereas inside, you don't even want to know her.
I know the inside.
Yeah, you do. Anyway, Sarah, let's not be inappropriate. We're about to introduce our next guest.
I am so excited for everyone to hear this conversation. Who did we talk to today, Purse?
Today, we are talking to the lovely Jessica Figueroa.
Yes, and sorry if we're butchering the last name. She goes by Fig, and I feel like she was kind of like, oh, like my friends and stuff call me Fig, but then I just immediately started calling her Fig, so hopefully that was okay with her. Jess, if you're listening and you're like, that actually like wasn't okay, I am deeply sorry. But Fig is just so cool and it just suits her vibe so much. She's so cool. And she is the face behind an events brand called Queer Girl, which we fell in love with when we discovered it on Instagram and TikTok. They have the most hilarious content that they post from their events. They're just creating these amazing spaces for not just queer women, but all sorts of queer people in San Diego. But they do have some plans to expand a little bit, which we talked to Fig about in this episode, so you'll hear all about it. We think queer spaces and events are so important. I mean, understatement of the century. We talk about it a lot on the pod, and we wanted to hear from someone who is, you know, in the weeds of it, organizing these events and creating these spaces for people to come.
Yes, agreed. And I feel like being in Toronto as well, we have events here and there, but all of us always say, like, the queer community collectively always agrees that we need more events. We need more representation. We need more in-person community gatherings. And I feel like Queer Girl is just a perfect example of how that can grow and how it can bring people together. I mean, when Fig tells us about like some of these stats happening with the Queer Girl TikTok account once she came on, I was like floored. It just shows the demand, right? Like the fact that these numbers are growing, it just clearly shows that these spaces are so needed.
That's a really good point. Not only did their social numbers grow, but also just the amount of people that were coming to the events like skyrocketed. And you're right, like this, the stats show the demand. This reminds me of there's an event that happens sometimes in Toronto called Queer Wine Night. That's the right name, right?
Yeah, it happens at a Paradise Grapevine, and they call it Queer Wine Night. It's the first Tuesday usually of every month.
Yeah, and I remember there was one Tuesday where the event was happening, and someone posted a picture, and outside of this bar was a massive line, like around the block lineup of people waiting and hoping to get into the event. And the person who posted it was like, this just shows like there are not enough queer events and queer spaces in the city. Like this one night of the month where it's like a lot of queer women too who are going to this specific event. There's almost too much demand for the space to fit in the space. So it's happening in big cities all around the world, and Queer Girl is making their impact in San Diego. And hopefully we can continue to make an impact here in Canadian cities as well. Not us personally, but like Canadian queers.
Hey, we can. Girl on girl can insert themselves in there.
That's true. That's true. I shouldn't like I
Let's not be
shouldn't
down on ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt a little too scary, but it's not. We can do whatever we want.
With the help from Fig, our new pal Fig.
Yeah, maybe we can partner up.
Yeah, do you hear that?
Fig, are you listening?
Fig, are you still there?
Fig, girl, we've been talking. You haven't said a word. Where are you?
Anyway.
Anyway, let's jump into the interview. Thank you so much, Jess, for hanging with us, talking to us, being vulnerable, telling us your story, and for creating these spaces. And if you guys want to follow Queer Girl or Jess and see what's up, we're going to put all the links in the show notes if you want to look it up right now. Queer GXRL. And honestly, regardless of where you live in the world, follow the TikTok because the videos are, I'm obsessed with them.
Me too. Me too. They're really funny. And listen, us queers can sometimes be a little toxic. We can be a little spicy. And the questions asked definitely do not, they're not like tame. Like they definitely like get right to the root of everything.
And the people who go to the parties, they're not afraid to just like be themselves. That's what makes the video so good. It's so good. And I just can't wait for Purse to go to her first Queer Girl event and get on the video because I feel like you'd have some good responses.
Yeah. We'll see. No pressure.
No
Don't put me on the
presh.
spot.
No presh, but I would like you to be featured in one of them.
Yeah.
Thank
Okay.
you.
Sounds good. I'll go to San Diego.
Okay, see you later.
Okay. See ya. Hi, Jess.
Hello, hello.
How was your meeting?
It was good. We have some exciting stuff happening for Queer Girl. We're tying up some pre-New Year's Eve and New Year's Eve events that we are in the works.
That's exciting.
And a Cupid party, Queer Girl Cupid party for Valentine's Day.
Oh my God.
So just some exciting things in the works. Yeah, for sure.
That's so exciting. We're really stoked to talk to you for a multitude of reasons, but when we discovered, I think I was the one who discovered Queer Girl. It like came up on my Instagram somehow, and I sent it to Purse for two reasons. I was like, this needs to exist in Toronto. Like what, how does this not exist? Like every like a Cupid party, like Purse needs that, okay, in Toronto. And then the second reason I sent it to her was I was like, all the girls at these events are so hot.
You're not wrong. Yeah, it's we do have a plethora and a variety of, people, beautiful people that show up to our events, throughout the whole community, whether you're lesbian or bisexual. We have a couple transgender people, a couple gay men that show up and support. It's pretty inclusive, as much as we try to, cater it to queer women, since there's not many places for us. We're also not gonna turn away anyone either. We would want to be accepted, just like, they would want to be accepted at our events.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we love that. And we're going to talk to you about that too later in the convo, because that's one of the things we noticed too, just like looking at all the great content that Queer Girl posts. It's super diverse and really inclusive and exciting. Okay, to start off, for any listeners who don't know who you are or have never heard of Queer Girl, can you tell us your name, maybe a little bit about you? What are your pronouns and how do you identify?
Okay, yeah. So my name is Jessica Figueroa, but everyone except for my mother calls me Fig, like the fruit.
I love that. I
That's so
love that so
cute.
much. That's so fun.
Yeah, I was a jock my whole life, played all the sports, went to D1 college at the University of Delaware for soccer, and Fig was just one syllable, real quick. Something you could shout. And yeah, it stuck. I actually got that nickname when I was in like third grade. And here we are, a bunch of years later, 2 decades later, almost 2 decades later, and we're still calling me Fig. So I think it's gonna stick and stay around for a while. I actually have a Fig tattoo.
As you should. I was gonna say that's like the perfect thing to tattoo. It's so
Yeah,
cute. Is that like a little character? Wait.
it's got some Nike
It's like a fig with shoes. That
shades
is
and a
so
beanie,
cute.
because that's what I wear most of the time.
I'm obsessed. Also, I do have to say, I played soccer my whole childhood, and it was really helpful to have a nickname like that, like for in-game reasons, like for people to just quickly be like, hey, pass me the ball.
Yeah.
But my name's Sarah Johnson. So nicknames didn't really exist.
SJ.
Like,
Boom.
there. You
SJ
did
should,
not
I was
just
going to
say
say
that.
SJ should have been it.
No, I'm trying to make SJ my nickname right now.
Okay, well, we're gonna make it your nickname. You're dubbed
I
SJ.
can't believe you just said that. Anyone listening who has been like hanging with me recently will be laughing right now because I'm literally trying to get people to call me SJ and they're like, fine, we'll call you SJ.
That's awesome.
Okay, anyway, back to you.
Yeah, so East Coast girl, trying to make power moves out here in the West Coast. Moved out here almost 5 years ago. I am she, her, kind of leaning towards she, they these days, I am masculine presenting, but my femme side does come out from time to time. Yeah, I'm 29, about to head towards the, dirty 30s.
Oh, that's exciting though.
Yeah, it's like exciting, but also like, is this where I should be in my life right now? Like, where does that?
Relatable.
That's a little bit about me, from South Jersey originally, and have been in San Diego, yeah, for a while. I w jumped into the recruiting side of things. I work for the life sciences, so biotech and pharmaceutical companies, and I help staff for them. And Queer Girl kind of found me. We've just been making history ever since. And that's kind of like my passion project, I guess you would say. While the 9 to 5 job kind of pays the bills and covers me while I live in like one of the most expensive states and cities in the country.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hear that.
So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
But speaking of Queer Girl, and we're obviously a queer podcast, do you remember the first time that you realized you might be queer? And did you have like an aha moment?
Yes. So, being in like a small Jersey town, it's like you deal with a lot of like whispers and, a lot of people talking about you. And I come from an immigrant family, first generation Mexican. So, my parents are very, make sure you're presentable, or, what you do, like your actions and, how you represent yourself represents our family. So I was always kind of like dealing with internalized feelings when it came to women. So being around sports and jocks and like all that was very eye-opening to me. And I think that's when I started to like feel certain ways about women, one in particular.
There's always
There's
one.
always one.
There's always the one.
She's actually straight and like never knew that she was like my first like crush, like my first love. And so if she ever does hear this podcast, maybe she'll find out.
Can we say her first name, or is that too much?
Her first name is Cassandra, but she goes by I call her Cassie. I've called her Cassie my whole life.
Okay, Cassie, if you're listening.
Yeah, Cassie. The cat's out of the bag. But no, she was like my teammate for the state of New Jersey. So it's like all the girls throughout the Jersey area come together. So it's north, south, central, whatever. We all come together to represent the state. And she lived in like northern Jersey. I'm from southern Jersey. So practices were the only times we saw each other, where it was like right in the middle. And I was so excited to like see her at practice. And I'm like, that was like the little inklings where I'm like, okay, like, why am I so excited to see her? And then we became besties, and she would tell me about her boyfriends and like all her boy drama. And I would just like, would get so jealous and be like, ugh.
But were you like confused if you're like, am I just like, you know, if she's going through issues, am I like mad for her? Am I mad because I'm like jealous? Because I literally feel like that could be weird.
That was me. That was me to a T. I'm like, oh, he should not be treating you that way. But then I'm like, I could treat you better. Like, you know, like it was one of those things where it was like a story in my head playing, but was never spoken out loud. And then there was this one time we were going away to camp for the whole region. So that's like girls from all the Eastern region come together for this camp where we kind of try out for the national team. And so I was like a whole week or week and a half with her. And on the bus ride up, she like would sit on my lap, and I was like getting all tingly, and I'm like, okay, this is not normal. I was getting all hot and bothered. I'm like, okay,
you're like, this is not how I feel around my other friends,
right? No, 100%. I'm like, why don't I feel this way about, like, you know, my friend Grace or my friend Kelsey, my other teammates? Like, why is it this specific person? And then she'd be like, oh my God, come to my room for a nap. And I'd be like, I'm on my way. Like, you know, any kind of time that I had with her individually, I was like, okay, this feels different. I think I like girls, like, but I was never said it out loud, never acted on it or anything. Clearly, you know, never even told her I had feelings for her. But yeah, that was kind of my aha moment for sure, for sure, looking back at it.
I'm curious, at this time, were you dating men?
Oh, I had boyfriends. My mom was borderline, like, thinking about sending me to an all-girls school, which
would have been great.
Which could have been either great or, like, I don't even know.
Or a disaster.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know, internalized homophobia, I think, is a word or a phrase you can say I was definitely experiencing, especially coming from like the background that, you know, I was brought up in, very Catholic, very religious. You know, I had a quinceañera, so I had like 10 guys, you know, surrounding me and like dancing with me and all that, the dress. So it was hard, you know, it was very hard to like really open myself up to that. And then, you know, my coming out story came in college. When I was older, you know, that was when I kind of started to like grow out of that, you know, oh, will I disappoint my parents? Like the whole internalized homophobia thing. It was still there, but not as much. Like I was more open to like being like, okay, like I like this girl.
Do you remember who you came out to for the first time?
I came out to my roommate, who was also coming out to me. We were both like, didn't know we were coming out to each other, but we were both like, hey, like, can I talk to you? I need to tell you something. And she was like, wait, like, I need to tell you something too. Like, what's going on? Like, you go first. And I'm like, no, you go first. And then it was just like, I really like this girl, Chelsea, for her. And I was like, well, I really like this girl, Mara. And like, it was like, oh my God, like we're both going through it together. Like,
that's so cute.
Yeah. She was on the lacrosse team. I was on the soccer team. And we, you know, there were people on my team that were gay, but like, I don't know. Again, like you kind of struggle saying those things out loud always. And there wasn't really anyone on her team that was gay. So she would be the first one. So it was like a very nerve-wracking thing for the both of us. But yeah, she was my friend Zagra, who she's now happily married to her wife.
Oh, congrats.
Yes, Zagra and Madison. They're so cute. Zagra's her like last name, but her first name's Alex.
Oh.
But yeah, that's who I came out to.
I love how you were both coming out to each other.
And you could help each other through it.
We did, honestly. It was great. And then, once I told her, I told like a couple other people. It was easier, to like start saying, like a couple of my teammates knew. A lot of them didn't as well. And then my other roommates knew, obviously, because like Mara kept on sleeping over and like, why is she sleeping over a lot? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, she doesn't like her.
Slumber
Yeah, like we're just trying to make it up. But yeah, it was kind of harder on her end because she like came from a, I thought my parents and my family was like super religious, but her parents were like next level. Like they went to daily mass, they owned a Chick-fil-A. Like, yeah, it was tough because our relationship ended up being a secret for 5 years.
I'm
Oh,
sorry.
that's really, really hard. 5 years, that's a long time.
It is the first time she broke up with me, actually, was when I came out to my mom. I never fell in love like I did with a guy like I did with her, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
So it definitely hit like me on another level. Like I was like my world was like shaken up. So who do you call when that happens? Your mother. Or I don't know, other people, maybe someone else. And I was like, it was like midnight, like midnight, and she was in Jersey and I was in Delaware, and I was just like hysterical on the phone. I was like, I just can't tell you, like I can't tell you, but like I'm just like I need you, blah blah. She's like, you're scaring me, like what's going on, did you get arrested again? Like, because I got arrested, I got an underage in college. And she was just like, I was like, no. She's like, okay, I'm on my way. Poor thing gets to my apartment at like 1:30 in the morning, and we're just having like this deep ass conversation in the car. And she's like, okay, tell me like what's going on, Jess? Like what, like why are you like this? And I just was like, I fell in love with my best friend, and she happens to be a girl. And she
Aww.
was like, okay, well, like I love you, like you're my daughter, that's never gonna change, but like do you think this is something like that you will grow out of, or the phase talk? And I was just like, I don't know, but like what I know is what I feel, and what I feel is real. And like it took her a while to like understand that, but after years that went by and like multiple conversations, she is one of the best allies I have.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah, which fortunately I do have, and I know a lot of people in the community struggle with, but it took a long time to get there. And yeah, that was pretty much like who I came out to, like after having a girlfriend for like 5 years secretly. And like, yeah, it was just like a whole, again, pig's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess you would have been in like your mid-20s when you came out to your mom, like officially.
Yeah, I was a junior in college, so like 2021.
Oh, I thought you meant 2021, the year for a second. And I was like, last year? And now you're like a queer girl, like running the shit.
So that's hilarious. No, I was like 20, 21 years old. Yeah, when I came out to my mom.
It's so great that you could call her, like, despite anything, just call her to come comfort you, like, just in general, and that she would drive over there and be at your house at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, honestly, we've had our ups and downs, but she will always show up, and like she's proved it to me multiple times, and I'm super grateful for like my mom. She's actually my friend's go-to for like any advice or like for problems or like.
She's that mom.
That's very sweet.
You had your coming out. You went through your big first breakup. I feel like every guest, especially like queer female guests we have on, when they talk about their first breakup, it's like it is a fucking turning point. Like it is something else. And now you're here today and you are the founder of Queer Girl. So can you tell our listeners, in case they don't know what Queer Girl is, what it's all about, and how you got inspired to start.
Queer Girl was actually founded in 2017. His name is Ben Greshler. They were formerly known as Jen Greshler, but now, you know, they have transitioned to a trans man. He kind of launched that Queer Girl based events, but like with, you know, they changed the branding to X to be more inclusive. But then, you know, it was a company that just like was devoted to throwing diverse and culturally relevant events for queer women. And like, they kind of started that solid foundation, you know, that they've built over the past couple years. But, you know, before the pandemic, Queer Girl would host city tours and have events throughout the United States. Unfortunately, when COVID hit, all these events were put to hold and canceled. It kind of like died off a little bit. And then 2020 is when I started with them, October 2021, actually. You know, they had a pretty good following. On TikTok, they were like at 4,000 followers. And then they were like, you know what? I think it's a good idea to bring in a social media content specialist to kind of regain that traction and like kind of ramp things up again. Rebuild, you know, their brand, their following, and help promote future events. So yeah, I started out with coming up with content, the famous questions, the weekly questions, the pictures, the videos. And, you know, again, we started TikTok. I started with them when they were at 4,000 followers, and now we're at 85,100 followers.
Oh my God. Wait, so, and you started October 2021.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's only been a year.
Yeah, it's only been a year.
That's a huge jump.
We're shook.
Can we just like take that in for a second?
Yeah.
Like, how do you think, obviously, like you're the talent behind that and like growing that following, but what do you think it really was that maybe helped spark that growth?
Honestly, it was the out-of-pocket questions I was asking. Like, are you still friends with your ex? Like, you know, what are your favorite red flags to chase? Because let's be honest, we all have those. And it was just like kind of things that were questions that were more, that were very relatable to a lot of people that would come to the events or wouldn't come to the events. And like, seeing social media has been just such an outlet and such a free marketing and advertisement for anything in general. You catch yourself scrolling like for hours, whether it's Instagram or TikTok. So we figured to like really hone in on that platform and kind of just, how do we get people engaged? What's it going to take for people to like come to these events? So again, like in October 2021, they were just starting to come out with events again. Our contract ended and they weren't really doing that well. The venue was really hard to fill because it was so big and it was on a Sunday. And so, you know, I took it upon myself to find another venue and to kind of try to find another day where people would like actually go out. So I went to the Hole in the Wall, which I would go with my friends. That would be like our little spot where they do karaoke, pitcher drinks. And I knew that they were like an OG gay bar in San Diego. Me and my friends love having a good time here. Then I was like, you know what? Let me just talk to the manager one day. I know it's a little bit out of my JD, but like, you know, I'm really passionate about Queer Girl, about helping this really awesome events brand, like, you know, elevate and take it to the next level. And I was like, listen, you give us a shot, we'll bring in the headcount. We'll see how it goes a couple, you know, for the first month. And then, you know, if it flops, thank you for your time. And if it doesn't, well, we're going to have a beautiful relationship moving forward.
Yeah. The confidence.
I love that.
Confidence is key, ladies. So yeah, you know, it was kind of like the first couple events we had, you know, 25, 30, 35, 50 people show up, which was way better than our Sunday events when it was like 20, 25 people. You know, Thursdays, that's when the weekend starts for most people. And then a venue where it's like half inside, half outside, you have beer pong, there's karaoke and like pool table is a variety. It was like a variety of everything, kind of hit every market. Queers that wanted to keep it low key and chill, you know, have their little crowd play beer pong or like pool, you could do that. For the more extrovert queers that, you know, wanted to sing and, you know, shake their ass, like
Persis.
That's awesome. That'd be me.
That kind of just started flowing. You know, our TikTok videos, I think, really, really helped that. You know, people would be like, oh my God, I want to be on the TikTok video. I want to answer the question. Like, people would come solely for the video because, again, social media.
Yeah, okay. And, like, not to interrupt you, but just for any listeners who haven't seen the videos that Fig is talking about right now, go to the Queer Girl socials right now, TikTok, Instagram. It's Queer GXRL. And these videos, like, this is what made us fall in love with Queer Girl all the way up here in Canada. Like, because you are asking, like, I mean, I guess pretty basic questions in a lot of ways. Yeah, like, what was the example you gave, you just gave? It was something about your ex.
It was, like, are you still friends with your ex?
Okay, yeah. So, like, a pretty simple question you might ask your friend, but the answers you get are so good, so funny. And the way you edit them, I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's you editing them. I don't know. They're so good. So, guys, like, go watch all of them. Like, you could, I could scroll for hours just watching them. They're so good. Every time I see a new one, I'm like, purse, there's a new one.
Well, that's really great to hear, and that's great feedback, because, you know, sometimes it can get a little redundant. You know, sometimes I'm like, okay, like, what questions do I ask, what questions do I don't ask, like, is it okay to repeat the questions? Like, you know, like last week I did a truth or dare, and some of them were really funny. I got a lot more truths than dares, but there were some people that were like, that did say dare. And I was like, okay, well, like, you know what? I dare you to go get a consensual kiss from someone that you think is cute. Like, you know, let's push the boundaries a little bit. It happened. They got a consensual kiss. And the girl was like, the girl that got kissed, I was like, thank you so much for being a good sport. You know, she was like, oh my God, I think I just caught feelings. And
you're like, did I just start a relationship?
Right, literally. And then I go up to my friend that I like went and was like, dared them. I was like, yo, I mean, that girl caught feelings over there. I mean, if you want to shoot your shot. She was like, oh my God, really? Like, I'm going to go find her right now. So I was like, planting the seed.
And you also had someone in that video, someone said dare, and you dared them to just get someone's number who they thought were cute. I'm like, who knows? They could be texting right now, setting up a date. Yeah. Like, who knows?
Exactly. So it's, I like to have fun with it. I do a fruit roll-up challenge, where it's like, you know, let's see what that mouth do, let's see what that tongue game do.
Have it like, yeah, literally like a straight person versus like a queer person.
Exactly.
And can Sarah and I do it? Let's do it.
We should do it.
But yeah, I think those definitely helped. You know, we've had people from New York, New Jersey, people on the East Coast come to our events and be like, hey, like, I found you on TikTok. Hey, I found you on Instagram. Can we be on the video? People from Tennessee, people, like, I'm not kidding you. Like, I didn't know these videos were going to take off like that and, like, really hit different geographical areas. But I'm glad it did because, you know, I've seen a lot of really cool and diverse people come to these events. And yeah, I mean, I guess I've been dubbed like the face of Queer Girl and like the one that does the questions. But at the end of the day, it's more than that. It's super rewarding. A lot of people have come up to me thanking me that they found their friends, people that are new to the area, people are like little gabies that, you know, needed a place to come and feel safe and make friends. And, you know, they were like, you helped me do that. I met my girlfriend at one of our events.
No. And
yeah, you can find love in a hopeless place, people.
That's awesome. Can you tell us the story about how you guys like connected at this event?
So it was actually, I asked her a question and I was like, wow, like, I kind of like her vibe, her energy. I'm an energy person. Like, I'm a vibe person. And like, it's also kind of like, you know, doing the TikToks and stuff, it gets me to meet a bunch of people and like step out of my comfort zone too. And so it's funny because she's not really like my type, I guess you would say. I go for like super, super femmes. Like, I guess you would call them pillow princesses. I don't know.
Purse can relate.
I love femmes too. I really love femmes. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's just a thing.
I like a little dom femme though.
That's the one that I have. She's Oof. Quite the dom femme. She was like very like STEM, like, you know, like a androgynous kind of presenting. And again, I go for the girls that have like their lashes, the fake lashes, like the whole shebang. But it was something about like her energy, something about her responses that really kind of was like, I want to know this person more. But like, I was just getting out of a relationship, a pretty unhealthy kind of toxic one, you would say. You know, I kind of just want to know them as a person, like, you know, let's get to know each other that way. But I was so out of the game that I didn't even know how to like, hey, like, do you want to be friends? Like, I just didn't know how to do it. So I sent one of my bouncers. I was like, hey, can you like go get her, talk to her, like just joking around, like didn't think he would do it. But you know, I guess he followed my orders pretty, he took them pretty to heart and was like, okay, and like went over there. And she was kind of like, oh my God, am I getting kicked out? I saw it from the distance, like from afar. And I was like, oh my God, he's doing it. And she came over and was like, so like you wanted to talk to me?
That would intimidate me.
Me too.
I was like, holy shit. Like, okay, the moment is here. Like, what do I say? And I was like, yeah, what's your Instagram? Like what? Like what?
Me trying to flirt.
Yeah, it was kind of horrid, but we exchanged Instagrams and like, you know, I guess that's like the new way to date or like talk to people, social media. And so I was like sliding in her DMs like, oh, like you're at Sunset Cliffs, like not me being at Sunset Cliffs too, like not us being at the same place, but like not together. Maybe we should like hang out and go to this together. You know, it was kind of like so cringe because again I've been out of the game, but again it was kind of just more like let me see who you are, let me get to know you.
Is the video that you where you like ask her the question, is it on the Queer Girl page? Like, can we go see it?
Yeah, it is.
That's a moment. Like, you have that moment on camera. Do you remember what question it was?
What's the gayest thing about you? She's the first person.
What's the gayest thing about you?
I went to Cancun for a first date.
I was a Tumblr lesbian.
Look at me.
Probably all of my friends.
My demeanor. You never know if you're going to get masculine or feminine.
My dick, because I'm able to switch inches, unlike most men.
I cry every time I watch that.
She has lips tattooed on her neck.
She's so cute.
Yeah, she's so cute.
What did she say was the gayest thing about her? I didn't hear the answer.
So she didn't say anything. She pointed to like these lips she has tattooed on her neck. And I was like,
yeah. You're like, enough said.
Like, cool, cool.
I was like, okay.
You're like sweating.
I was literally like, you're so cute. Why are you so cute? But like so tomboy, but like, fuck, I kind of like your vibes. Like you have lips and it's actually her lips. Because
I was going to ask if it was like an ex's lips or something.
No, but she does have a tattoo with her ex. We don't talk about that.
Yeah, we don't talk about that on this podcast.
We don't talk about Bruno. but yeah, it's her lips. She got them done. She gave me the story behind it because I did ask her. I was like, oof, like, are you toxic and got your like ex's lips tattooed on you? And she was like, no, they're actually mine. So like the guys could, you know, get off my back or like whatever.
Something being a straight girl dealing with straight men all the time, I can tell you that that probably would not get them off your back. Like it would just make them more
intrigued.
Be honest, to be like, what is that? Tell me more.
Literally, I was like, and she kind of still deals with that, and I'm like, looks like that tattoo backfired.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's a really good conversation starter, and that's where our conversation started.
That's the best story.
That's cute AF. Okay, well, congrats to both of you for finding each other and the stars aligning. We love a love story on this pod.
I need to move, apparently. I need to go to these events to find the love of my life.
Come to San Diego. You can find love here. You can find friends here. You can find a safe space. It's funny. It's rewarding. It's all of the above. It really is.
So speaking of the videos, it seems from the videos, and we mentioned this earlier in the convo, that the people who come to the Queer Girl events are pretty diverse. Like in the videos, you can see there's like queer women, there's femme women, there's more like mask presenting women, there's like non-binary and trans folks. Like, do you think the videos were a part of creating a space where like multiple different types of people could feel safe and comfortable. Like, what, how do you think you fostered that? Because at the end of the day, it is, you know, a company called Queer Girl, and that even just the name might deter someone from coming if they think they might not feel totally comfortable in that space.
Yeah, no, I think that showing diversity, showing that there are, you know, all women of different colors, shapes, sizes, like all of the above, I think that was really important to kind of hone in on. Because of that reason, you know, so we want it to be relatable, these questions to be relatable, the audience, the people that they would be around to be relatable, you know, so making sure to promote that there are Latinx, African-American or Black, you know, white, however you identify, there's going to be a little piece of you there. I thought it was really important to hone in on that. I mean, I'm a Latina, and if I saw more Latinas at this event, I'd be like, oh my God, girls, you know, let me get the other Latinas and be like, hey, sister, like, what's good? Let's hang out, you know, kind of really find a community within the community. I think that was really something that was needed and important, just so we can get people from all walks of the earth to come through. Again, it was, and it is still is, you know, targeted for queer women, but we have a lot of allies come. We have a lot of, you know, gay men come, which is like, you know, really kind of like a little bit of a shocker, but it was also really cool to see because, you know, they have their own spaces. The most of the areas in San Diego in Hillcrest are catered to gay men, except for the one lesbian bar, which is Gossip Grill. That is, you know, for lesbians or queer women. But everything else is for gay men. So for them to already have their spots and then want to come to our events, I was like, okay, wow, like we may be the commodity, you know, the hot commodity or like a little bit something.
Seems like it.
You know?
Yeah.
That's interesting. And so right now Queer Girl is just doing events in San Diego, but do y'all have any plans to expand anywhere above like the border? Maybe one day?
West end of Toronto, close to me.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to write it down.
At Persis's house. Yes, and your home address.
Yes, send me the addy. so yeah, right now, we kind of really wanted to hone in on our city. And, you know, we have a year of ramp up. Now that we have the following, now we have the audience, we're seeing the demand and other places. We have in the comments, are you guys coming to Florida? Are you guys coming to Georgia? Oh, I need to get out of Arkansas or wherever you're at, you know? It really is something that like, okay, maybe we need to start doing city tours again. Maybe we need to, you know, hit these different demographic areas that need a space. So we do have a couple things in the works. LA is something that we're working on next since it is a little bit closer. We definitely want to hit the state of California, the Bay Area, and start shifting and moving to different other states. Toronto could be next.
I would love that.
Yeah, it is in the works. It is in the plans. We just need to kind of find a venue that will have us, you know, and that's another thing. We don't want to take away from their nights and take away from, you know, whatever they have going on. And I think that's like the biggest challenge right now is finding a space from here, you know, and trying to coordinate something and getting all the logistics. But it is something that we are really working on.
That's great news. That's the answer we're hoping for.
The Queer Girl could be coming to a city near you for sure.
Whenever you announce you're coming to just Canada in general, we'll spread the word.
I mean, if you have any good places that would be open to having our events, feel free to shoot them my way. And who knows, it could be in this upcoming year for sure.
Absolutely. I already have like places in my head I'm thinking could be really good spaces for a Queer Girl event.
Me too. We'll send you a list.
Capacity. Not this past week, but last week we had 530 people come to our event.
Oh my God.
Wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that it was like, that's where you guys were at now.
Oh, on our weekly basis? Yeah, well, that was our number consistently, like, all summer. Now that it's, like, local summer, you know, whatever, it's ranging between the 300 to 500 range.
Yeah, it's cuffing season.
Everyone's staying cozy. So maybe we'll take my apartment off the list.
Yeah. I mean, we could try. Yeah, I think it would be cozy.
It'll be super cozy. No worries.
Okay, before we say goodbye to you, we want to talk a little bit more about the importance of queer spaces and events in general, because even in big cities, there is, like, such an unmet need for queer spaces and events. Persis has experienced this in Toronto firsthand, especially for queer women, like you said earlier. This seems to be, historically, more spaces for gay men than gay women. Why do you think that is?
A couple things. So I think a lot of the people in the community are stuck in a sort of time era where, like, maybe the gay men, you know, Harvey Milk, all of them kind of ran things. But let us not forget that the lesbian women and other people in the community were also a part of that and helping that and, like, getting us to where we are now. We're also in, like, a new generation. There's a new generation of queers that are identifying as whatever they do or whatever they are. And it's like, we need to have more of a space for everyone, not just a specific group of people. And we see that across the board. I mean, to only have 25 bars for lesbian women in the whole country, that's pretty sad.
Wow, I didn't know that was the stat in the States.
Yeah, in the States. In the United States, there's about 25 lesbian bars, if I'm not mistaken.
That's insane.
In the whole country. So, which means, you know, everything else is predominantly tiered or targeted for gay men. And, you know, I truly don't know why that is the case, but I think it's because how things started back in the day. And I think, again, people are still kind of stuck. All of that, I think it gets lost in translation that the times have moved. There are many people within the community that, you know, still need a space, and to not forget, you know, the other letters in the community, the L's, the T's, the Q's, the plus, the, you know, all of it, the B's. It's something that I think we just kind of forget and, like, are okay with. But there's some of us, like us at Queer Girl, that we're not okay with that. Like, we deserve our own space. We deserve a space, safe space. And we also have this space where everyone's welcome. You know, we're not going to turn anyone away because you're identified as bisexual, or if you're a gay man, or if you're a trans man. We have a trans man as an owner. I think we need to change the mindset. We need to change the script a bit. And that's what we're trying to do, one event at a time.
Mm-hmm. And you're starting that, right? I'm actually really curious about what that stat would be in Canada in terms of lesbian bars, because even in Toronto, there isn't really, like...
There's one?
I can't even tell you which...
The Beaver?
The Beaver's not even open anymore.
Oh my God. We should look up this stat after and include it in the episode, because that would be really interesting to see. Definitely less than 25, if there's only 25 in the States. But I never thought of, I think you bring up a good point, Fig, because, like, I had never thought about the fact that I do think gay men just in the media got maybe a wider representation, like, were shown more. Yeah, Harvey Milk is a perfect example. Even if you think about shows like Will and Grace, right? Like, I feel like gay men, there was just more representation than there was for
modern
gay women.
Like, you know, but yeah. Besides L Word, which is probably the only platform that really opened that door for to have more representation for lesbian women or queer women, you're right. I don't really see that many people. Like, Ellen DeGeneres, yes. She was probably one of the only people. But everyone else is kind of, like, more leaning towards gay men representation. Which there's nothing wrong with that. It just, like, you know, there's more to the pie, you know? And yeah, I think it's something that we need to change the script, and hopefully we can do that and have more representation across the board and having more spaces for people, you know,
mm-hmm.
to come.
Absolutely. And even just to touch upon this quick too, we are coming out of, like, COVID times. Why do you think in-person events are so important, especially for the queer community?
I mean, I know myself.
You meet your girlfriend.
Yeah, you're like, that's how you meet your SO.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, I think human interaction in general is something that is needed. Across the board, whether you're straight, whether you're gay, whether you're bi, whatever it is that you identify, that human interaction really goes a long way. And it doesn't keep things as surface level. I think when the pandemic hit, everything was kind of more like behind the screen, you're locked in, you're kind of like going through this weird, weird phase mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And it kind of flipped your world upside down where you're like, okay, like, you know, not like being behind a screen is it feels safer now. In hindsight, it's like, we need to bring back that human interaction. We need to bring back that like human, like presence, that genuine, that raw connection that you really can't get behind a screen, really. Like when you have someone there that you could physically touch, or if like, you know, you're having a real hard conversation, you can't hug the screen and feel that same thing, right? When you're talking to them and you're talking to them about something deep and you want to show some kind of affection or, you know, whatever the case may be, you can do that. And it's like, wow, like that touch, you know, that in-person smile, it goes a long way. It's not like a filter, you know, takes the filter away. And I think that's what's really important. And, you know, just to get like back in touch with humanity, I think we've all kind of lost a little bit of that during the pandemic. And it's really important to be able to have those in-person interactions. They could go a long way, honestly. You know, a hug really could go a long way.
Well, and even what you were saying, when you were telling the story of meeting your partner, you were like, oh, I'm such an energy person. But that is an in-person experience. That's like something that you have to be with them to know. And you could have maybe seen her. Sorry, what are her pronouns?
She, her. Yeah.
You could have seen her on like a dating app maybe and been like, oh, that's not my type. And you know what I mean? And like swiped away. But you met her in person and you were like, there's something about the energy. You wouldn't have got that through a screen. And it like, I think that can happen with friendships too.
Exactly. No, that's literally a perfect example. Like, if I saw Angie on a screen, I probably would have been like, I don't know, she's a little bit too masked for me, or is a little too androgynous for me. And I would have swiped left, or, you know, instead of swiping right. But because she was right in front of me, her responses, her like that human interaction, the energy, the vibes that were passed, like I was like, whoa, I actually kind of want to know who this person is a little bit more. Yeah, you're not hiding behind a screen messaging. It's like raw, authentic. And I think that's what a lot of us lack in these days and what we need more of.
Yeah. And as much as we love in-person events, like you with your videos, we've been talking about this whole combo, like you have created a online queer community, which we've talked about on the pod a bajillion times. Online communities are like just vital for queer people. Like, how do you feel about that digital community? Like, obviously, it means that you have people coming into the events to meet in person. But even people like us who have never been to an event because we're in another country, like, how are you fostering that digital space? And do you have any plans, like anything you want to do with that digital community?
That is something that I personally have been like kind of taking note of. I definitely want queer girl. And this is something that, you know, again, I have to talk to Ben with. Since it's not my baby, it's kind of like his baby that I'm kind of like, you know, nurturing a bit.
Cradling. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I want us to be able to have like a philanthropy piece to it, you know, give back to our community, to the LGBTQ+ youth. And then, yeah, create that space where it's like almost like a little hub, like where people could kind of like lean on with each other, like. Right now, during the holidays, not a lot of people have that opportunity to go home for Thanksgiving because of XYZ reason. Even though people are, you know, in Canada or in New Jersey or wherever they may be, they know they have a community that they could lean on during this time, that a lot of people may be going through the same thing. And so that is something that we're kind of trying to figure out how we can kind of hone in on that, because there is, you know, there are a lot of people from all over the place that we see on Queer Girl that are like, oh my gosh, like, you need to come to this city, you need to come to that city, or like, that are like talking about their personal experiences because of the prompt, and then, you know, connecting with each other that way. So that does bring a good point, and like, that's something that we definitely need to brainstorm, because there is that, you know, group of people that demand, I guess, for an online community.
2023 is going to be a big year for Queer Girl.
I think so too.
I'm really excited about it, and hopefully, you know, we don't disappoint.
Absolutely, we're already predicting it. We know you're not going to. Well, we really, really, really appreciate your time. And just to wrap things up, where can our listeners find you guys or find out more about upcoming events?
Queer Girl, our Instagram page, our TikTok page, Queer, Q-U-E-E-R, and then Girl is G-X-R-L. You could find out our events through there and Eventbrite. We kind of do a lot of our events through Eventbrite. So, you know, you could follow us on there as well to stay tuned for, you know, our Cupid party that we're going to have in February, our New Year's Eve party that we're working on, our Pride party, all of that good stuff. You could follow us on that. Yeah, you know, if you want to connect, you could reach out to my personal page, fig_Jess. And, you know, if you're a DJ influencer or someone that wants to share their space with us to create these events, wherever you may be, we are very much open to that.
And we'll link all of that stuff, guys, in the show notes for this episode. So if you want to just go there, you can easily go over to the Eventbrite and to all the social platforms.
Awesome. Well, I super appreciate you guys for, you know, having me on your show and, you know, letting me talk about Queer Girl and what we do and how we really want to, you know, bring the community into a personal and, you know, in person and as well as online. We just want to create a space where everyone can kind of just be themselves, find love, find friends, and have a good time. You know, life's too short.
Life is too short. And thank you for creating that space and for all the work you do. We cannot wait for y'all to come to Toronto. I'm currently in Vancouver, but I mean, Vancouver also has a lot of great spaces you could do it at. So I'll send you a list.
Yeah, we got Canada covered for you.
Yeah. No, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for, you know, doing what you guys do. I'm really excited to see what comes, you know, on Girl podcasts. And yeah, we'll definitely have to do this again.
Of course.
Let's do it. We'll do a recap November 2023.
Yes.
And see how you guys just like took over the world.
Basically. Exactly. At this point, if we can even reach you.
Yeah, you'll be like, I'm too big for you.
Never that. Some international ideas have popped up where, you know, maybe Queer Girl goes to Mexico or, you know, we'll see, Canada.
I'm so excited. Can't wait. Guys, stay tuned, follow Queer Girl, and you'll get all the updates as it happens. All right, for in case you missed it on this week's episode, we thought, especially with the content of the episode, talking to Fig about the importance of queer spaces, we couldn't let this opportunity go by without talking about what happened at Club Q, the gay bar in Colorado Springs. We're sure most of you listening have heard about what happened. There was a shooting. Someone walked into the bar and 5 people lost their lives. I think 13 or more people, I think it might be more now, were injured.
18 injuries. 23 people were shot at Club Q. So it resulted in the 5 deaths and then 18 injuries.
And we know that the deaths were two bartenders who worked there. There were a few people who were just there having a good time. One of the people who passed away, she had a husband and a child. She was a mom, and she was just there having a good time with a friend. Sometimes it's hard to even know what to say when, you know, or where to start, because it's like getting exhausting almost, like...
It's exhausting. It's not okay. It's heartbreaking. It shouldn't be happening. I didn't know this, Sarah. The club was actually planning an all-ages drag brunch for the Sunday morning in honor of Trans Day of Remembrance.
Yeah. And there were a lot of trans people at the bar that night. And one of them is one of the people who passed away. She was a trans woman in... who was visiting from Denver, I believe. I mean, yeah, there are just so many things we could say about this. I mean, I was listening to an interview from someone who was inside the bar when it happened, a survivor, and he said that it's literally, Club Q is literally the only queer bar in like the entire Colorado Springs area. He was like, this is it for us. He was like, this place is legendary. It's like won awards. But it's the only space in our community. And he started crying and he was like, what now? Like, where do we go now? Like, this space is not like, oh, it's never going to be safe again. You know what I mean?
How could it be? You know what I mean? Like,
when something that horrific happens inside of it.
People go to these places for safe space and to like, I mean, similarly, like what we talk about with queer girl, you know, like they go to find community, they go to feel seen, they're with their people, and this just needs to end. And then you have like Republicans like Lauren Boebert. Did you see that she tweeted? She tweeted saying like, the news out of Colorado Springs is absolutely awful. This morning, the victims and their families are in my prayers. This lawless violence needs to end and end quickly. But over the past 2 years, she was the one who tweeted, take your children to church, not drag bars. She also argues people should have to wait until age 21 to come out as LGBTQ+.
What the fuck?
She says LGBT people are spitting in God's face and perverting the nation. Like,
and then she says thoughts and prayers to the victims. This was a hate crime.
They caused this. And Sarah, this is kind of what you mentioned too when we talked about Candace Cameron Bure earlier today, and like the stupidity of her comment about wanting traditional marriage at its core, and how she left Hallmark because of like the queer movies or like more representation. And I know like the other guy, the other founder of Hallmark, is also a homophobic person, also left that channel, and now the two of them are working together with the greater family
network, whatever,
GAF,
whatever,
Greater Family Association.
Yeah, so I was telling Purse I was like seeing red earlier, because this might sound dramatic to say, but at this point it's not. Candace Cameron has blood on her hands, because when you have a platform and you say stuff like this, people hear it. You have a platform, people listen to you. People, especially people who are Christian, are gonna listen to you and they're gonna take it in, and you never know who those people are who are going to absorb this information. It might be a mentally ill person with an AK-47. Like, we can't just sit here. And Candace Cameron is just one tiny example, right?
She's just one example, but Matt Ziv says here, there is a direct correlation between conservatives waging a culture war against drag queens and trans kids and the shooting that happened last night. You do not get to think and pray your way out of it. You caused this.
Yes, exactly. And I just think it's so easy for us, especially with like, you know, like a TV star like Candace Cameron, who like maybe people don't take that seriously. It's easy for us to sit here and be like, oh, well, that's obviously stupid and she's canceled, kind of like brush her aside. But every single person who spews this kind of like rhetoric on a platform is part of the problem, and they all have blood on their hands. Like, I just don't think that's too dramatic to say. And it's so infuriating that Candace Cameron, for example, is going to go to sleep tonight like a baby, when her words have most definitely, I'm not talking about like this specific shooter or this specific situation, but her words have impacted lives of real people with real families out there in the world, innocently trying to just live their lives. And this is gonna, you know what the fucked up part is? This is gonna happen again. And it's happened before, and it'll happen again.
I know. I just can't hear it anymore. Like, it's just like another night. I mean, Sarah was just telling me earlier, like, I do go to queer bars often. I was just at Woody's on Friday. You know, you just never think you're going to go somewhere and then not come back.
Especially to the space where, like, you feel most part of that community, where you feel safest, where you feel like you have the most fun. There's the most joy in that space, right? I'm not talking about you always. Specifically, but just like queer spaces, right?
Yeah.
And to have that taken away from you. We're just feeling a lot of anger and a lot of sadness this week, and we wanted to make sure we brought it up on the pod. And we're just really grateful for people like Fig and Queer Girl, who are going to continue creating queer spaces no matter what. Like, this isn't going to stop queer spaces from existing. They actually interviewed the army vet who took down the shooter. You can find that interview. I think it might be on the New York Times. We know we're sitting all the way up here in a different country, and, you know, we're maybe a little bit removed from the situation, but if any of y'all want to talk about it, our DMs are always open.
Yeah, we understand it's like a really, really heavy time. I've been feeling it today. Everyone has, like, everyone. It's definitely, like Sarah said, it keeps happening, and it's scary to think that this could happen again. Just seems like one thing after the other. But what we can do is just be there for each other and talk things through. And I know that always helps me. So yeah, feel free to reach out to us, and we can try and talk things through, or even try to make you feel better in whatever way we can.
Yeah. And we love you guys. And, you know, the queer community is so strong. Everyone's going to keep pushing forward, right?
Yeah, of course. And I keep thinking of, like, the victims and the families too.
And I keep thinking of you, Purse. I keep thinking of you being at Woody's on a Friday night. And I just love you so much. And
love you.
I just want you to be safe. And I want you to feel like you don't have to worry leaving your house.
It makes us second guess things, though, for right? Sure. I mean, after this, even I'm sure, like, the village in Toronto is going to be, like, shaken up. Yeah,
I think, you know? The gay village in every major city is going to feel it. I was at a drag show 2 weekends ago at a gay bar here in Vancouver. Could have been me, you know?
Yeah, to any allies, to anyone in the community. It could be anybody. So stupid.
It's frustrating. We don't have any answers, and it's hard to know what to say. But yeah, just wanted to talk about it, and let's keep talking about it.
Yeah, I think we absolutely have to, right? We have to keep talking about it, spreading more awareness. And there's people with blood on their hands, and we're looking right at them. And I don't want to see a tweet from any single one of them being like, "My thoughts and prayers go out to the family." I swear to God.
And but we will. Also, we're gonna keep an eye out for any resources for the victims or survivors or for Club Q itself. If there's any way we can, like, help in some way, if we find any resources, we'll post them. And if you guys find any, please let us know.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea.
Okay, well, I love you, Purse.
I love you, Sarah. This was a heavy one, but wanted to thank Jess again for talking about Queer Girl and telling us more about how that got started. And we're just very grateful, like, we're eternally grateful for people like Jess and her team to keep these spaces alive, because we just want to make sure that we can't lose our light.
No, and if there's one thing I think over history we've learned about the queer community is, like, they won't be scared away from anything. Like, they won't, like, fear won't stop the queer community from standing up for their rights and doing what they need to do. Queer spaces are going to carry on thriving.
Absolutely, they always will.